Hi, I'm contractor Kevin Kennedy, and you're listening to Your Valuable Home on 920 The Voice, thanks to our wonderful sponsor, Tom Adams Windows and Carpets. Our show is about adding more value to your most valuable asset, your home. Each week, we'll feature home improvement replays and horror stories. We'll talk with all types of experts in our Home Improvement College segment and give you straight answers to all your questions about home improvements, including how to make sense out of a contractor's estimates and warranties. It all happens on Your Valuable Home, right here on 920 The Voice, every Saturday at 9 a.m., or check out the streaming version on 920thevoice.com, both brought to you by Tom Adams Windows and Carpets. And now it's time for the replay, and now this replay here is a job we just got done a few weeks ago. That's one of the nice parts about doing a job that we're not dealing with a customer that I've dealt with about 10 years ago, so sometimes it takes me a little bit of time to kind of get the thought process together on exactly what we did. So this one's fresh in the mind, and we have Ron on the air right now. We just did his bathroom, and he's going to come tell us about what we did over there. So Ron, thanks for coming on Your Valuable Home today.
Oh, thank you very much. Thanks for having me.
So now your house is newer. It's in a development, a lot of larger style homes there. It's a nice sized bathroom. What was the decision to make a run to get a new bathroom?
Well, we bought a quick delivery home. So most of the tile, countertops, et cetera, cabinets were, those choices were already made for us. They were okay to live with for a period of time, but then it just got time for a change.
Now, with the change that was coming into when you're buying a new home, before you even get to that, I mean, the change, did that want to come sooner than normal? Because what I always get a kick out of these big-time builders, because your house is not one of the smaller houses. It's a large house. It's a very large development, anywhere from 4,000 to 6,000 square-foot homes. And these builders that come in, they just put these basic tiles in. They say, oh, this is going to be one of the upgrades. Or, and they're like a dollar a square-foot tile at the most, down to 80 cents a tile foot. So it doesn't give you a lot of options when they do give you the upgrades. But to try to kind of swallow the house that you live in, this big mansion that you live in, I always call these large homes, does that want to force you into, when you buy the house, hey, it's after a couple of years, you want to do the bathroom a lot quicker? Or is it something you said, hey, look, it was nice enough that, you know, we decided to live with it for a little bit, and we'll wait to redo it?
It was nice enough that we decided to live with it for a little bit, but then, you know, there's some things that we could live with for a while, but after a period of time, we just decided it's time for a change. Let's dress it up a bit.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, when we first met, I know that one of the things, because a lot of the big bathrooms today have tubs. And the first thing I said to you was, hey, are we getting rid of the tub? I know your wife looked at me and she said, I don't think so, but we're not sure right now. What was the ultimate decision to keep the tub?
Well, I mean, there was a jacuzzi tub built in the bathroom, and that took up a fair amount of space.
Yeah, the tub deck that was around it. That was the big space.
Yeah, we had plenty of room, and if we eliminated the tub, then there would have been a void of space. You know, it would have seemed too open, just the way the layout was. Plus, we think there is value in having a tub, even though it's not going to be used regularly or that often, but there's going to be times when you just want to have a nice soak.
How many times is that? I'm sure you can count on one hand in the past 12 years you've been living there.
It's more than one hand.
Two hands. Perfect. Yeah, sometimes I think a tub's just being a picture on the wall because not many people use them. Every time we always talk about, you know, removing the tub, and they say, well, you know, we ought to keep it. I think it's going to be great because we like to use it. Hey, how many times in 10 years did you use it? Husband looks at the wife and says, well, at least once or twice. To purchase the new tub sometimes, because sometimes tubs can vary in price. You look at a tub, sometimes you get a basic tub around $700, and then you can look at the tubs today that are about $2,000, $3,000, and then you get the ones that are the air pressurized that get into $10,000. And then sometimes to replace that tub, I always look at the value. Is it there, and is it worth it to replace it?
Well, we certainly didn't go for one of the air pressure tubs, but we did get a freestanding tub, and it fit the style that we were looking for and really fit well in the space, and I think it looks great in the bathroom.
It does, because there was a little bit of an area, like you said, it would have been unused, and there's not much we could do with it, because right at the corner of that area was a double window where we couldn't put cabinets in, couldn't put a dressing area in, so we really were stuck at what we would really do there. We had to compromise it with the tub and the shower to make that little bit of a larger shower to accommodate both your needs.
Right. I mean, installing the double shower was one of our biggest desires in redoing the bathroom.
Double shower. We could have put a triple shower there. You had more penetrations coming through there with hand sprays and everything else. So tell us a little bit exactly on how you designed it and why you went with for all these body sprays and shower heads through that shower.
Let's say we wanted to put in an scale up the bathroom from when it was originally done. And so we wanted two shower heads. We wanted one set of body sprays and a handheld. The handheld is more for cleaning, I guess, than anything else. But that's what we wanted, and we were able to accommodate it in the layout very nicely.
Yeah, it did work out a lot nicer than we really projected, because when you're trying to envision something, sometimes a lot of the homeowners try to do too much, where, hey, if we can do this, this is great. And being a designer, it gives you availability to see ahead of time what it's going to look like. And I really wasn't sure, because you had that double angle where the door, when you walk in, was built on a 45 degree angle based upon the other walls. So the shower being offset to the left-hand side, we built it where one wall came off another wall at a 90 degree, but we met at a 45 degree where the door was to enter into that area. But as you enter in, of course, you had that little bit of corner on the left-hand side that was a little bit smaller. But when you enter the bulk of the bathroom, which is the bulk shower, which is probably, what, a 5x4 area, the main part of the shower, 5x6?
Yes. Yeah, it's about 5x6.
It just gives you a lot more mobility that you can do what you want in there. It's not where you're really stuck, where a lot of the showers that you see today in a lot of the buildings are like those 3x3 showers and you're stuck. You can't even move around these things. But again, that's what you got to live with. But again, with having ripping the bathroom out and then rebuilding everything from scratch really gave us a lot of flexibility to do what we wanted to do. And especially the design, because of going on that angle, that's something you wanted to do.
Right. It just worked out very well for the overall flow. We had the room to make the shower bigger, taking away some of the old decking from the old tub, and it just fit very nicely in the space.
You know, a little story about when we were taking the decking part out is that, because Ron was there, and what had happened was, as we were ripping everything apart, we started noticing beer bottles. And we're pulling out beer bottles here, and Dave's like, it wasn't me. It was old Coors cans that were stuck at the bottom. You could tell they were about 10 years old, but... you know, what we had done was cleaned up the trash from the existing builder. When the builder had built the place, the subs that came in and put everything together, they had just left the trash underneath that tub deck. So we had to clean all this out. So you kind of get a kick out of some of the things you find as you're redoing a house, whether it's 5 years old, 10 years old, or 100 years old.
I'd rather have, be a 100-year-old house and find some old coins that were valuable. But,
or Jimmy Hoffa, you can kind of check it for jewelry. So, mm-hmm. But one of the nicer things that you did do is that, and again, it's the style when you open the door. When those doors, the twin doors, are open, the first thing you notice are the cabinets. Explain a little bit on the design, on why you decided to go with that style selection of cabinets.
In talking with the designer, we knew we had about a 6-foot counter space there already, 7-foot counter space there already. So we were just kind of replacing it with more upscale cabinets that met more of our design eye, a cherry wood in a dark cherry finish. Storage was okay, but we did add a little bit of extra storage with the vertical unit, and it's really worked out very well for us.
Yeah, what we did was the single tower. We had still, you kept the two sinks. We didn't really change anything there, but we kept the two sinks, and then you designed to put one of the towers in the middle, right, for more storage. But it gives you a nice little flair of design, more of that Art Deco look that actually matched the tub, that whole aspiration of how we going to put everything together. The tower worked with the tub and then the shower. It just all blended together.
Yeah, the curves on the door trim and everything just fit a nice motif, I guess you might say.
True. Now, tile. Now, when you're picking tile, what were some of the selections that were running through your mind on how to pick the tile?
We worked with your designer, and going into the showroom and just looking around, she asked questions about, are you looking for modern or very traditional? And then pointed us in the direction, and that made sense. And then we picked something out that felt comfortable to us. You know, we liked the look of it. We liked the movement in the tile, and it just kind of spoke to us. And once we saw that, the decision was made.
Yeah, a lot of times the first impression on what you're going to choose is usually the right decision. Because you do get overwhelmed when you see about 1,000 different tiles in stock at a supply place, and you say, how am I going to pick all these tiles? So you try to narrow it down from there. I'm sure the lady had worked with you, and she narrowed it down to maybe 3 tiles. But really there, your first decision when you see something, really, it's the ultimate decision. You can look at another tile, maybe you can narrow them down to 1 or 2, but it really does make it very easy when you do have a designer decorator helping you out to kind of point you in the right direction to make sure you know what you're getting and make sure you're not doing anything. You shouldn't be doing that.
But even when we did pick out the style of the tile, there's many different sizes that you can choose, whether it's 18 by 18, 9 by 9, 24 by 24, or whatever the size. We ended up selecting a tile for the walls that was 9 by 18, and we had them mounted vertically. And we just like that total look of the tile and then on the wall. So that's really what cemented our decision.
Yeah, well, that's nice help with a little bit of work from the tile guy that we deal with to help things move along the process to make it look different. And the difference is it's been more the upselling style is what we did there, because we didn't do that a lot. We were more in the running bind and doing it more horizontal. But that was one of the, I think, the first jobs that we did with the larger tiles vertically.
Yeah, we just liked it. We saw a picture on the tile board in the showroom, and we just really liked the look of that. And that's... really have what influenced our decision.
Now, when it comes to the bathroom, I know this was one of the biggest decisions. I told you to hold off because I wanted to surprise everybody with this, because this has been the biggest selling item for every bathroom that we've been doing. Ron's bathroom is set over the garage. And Ron, I know your wife had said one thing I cannot stand is how cold the floor is. So what was the decision on doing the heated floor?
I knew this was coming last, but ultimately that's the main reason we redid the bathroom. When you get up in the morning and you walked in the wintertime, especially, very, very, very cold days, your feet were freezing. And there just wasn't a real way to heat the room other than you could put a space heater or something in there. So we knew we wanted a nice upscale look and feel, and doing the heated floors was ideal for that situation.
Doesn't it make you feel warm and fuzzy when you have a $700,000 house and your monster master bathroom is ice cold when you walk in? I had to throw that in there. I hope the developers listen to this, but yeah, it does. It's an option where, again, 15, 20 years ago, 10 years ago, it wasn't a big seller for us either. We didn't do a lot of the heated floors. It's just over the past 3 or 4 years, the cabling system, how it's designed, every bathroom we do is the heated system. And now, see, listen, now here's how we do it. Now, listeners, to understand exactly the correct way to do it is that we do the fiber cement board first, and then we glue the fiber cement board to the subflooring. You need to glue it. Screw it, but glue it. Screwing is important. We'll be right back after this break. You're listening to Your Valuable Home, sponsored by Tom Adams Windows and Carpets, with retail locations in Churchville, Southampton, and Doylestown, in Bucks County, and Whitehall in the Lehigh Valley. Check out Tom Adams Windows, all one word, .com.
Tom Adams Windows and Carpets is celebrating 60 years in business with our biggest sale ever. Save 10% to 20% on replacement windows, doors, carpet, hardwood flooring, and more. Our 60th anniversary is your opportunity to save big. At Tom Adams Windows and Carpets, our success comes from 60 years of satisfying customers with exceptional sales, service, and installation. Looking for energy-saving windows and doors? Want to beautify your home with new carpet or hardwood? Tom Adams Windows and Carpets has it all. Plus, real lifetime warranties, free in-home estimates, and our famous No One Beats Our Price guarantee. Hurry in for the Tom Adams Windows and Carpets 60 Years in Business sale. Our biggest sale means your biggest savings ever on replacement windows, doors, carpet, and more. Hurry, the sale begins February 4th. We've been trusted for 60 years. You know us. Now let us get to know you. Visit one of our 4 showrooms in Churchville, Southampton, Doylestown, or Whitehall, or Google Tom Adams Windows and Carpets. Sale ends February 28th.
Where the things I buy are made is important to me. So when I needed new windows, I chose Marvin Windows and Doors, a family-owned American company. My local Marvin dealer helped me find the perfect fit for my style. My new windows are gorgeous, the perfect combination of craftsmanship and energy efficiency. If all that matters to you, choose Marvin.
And you can find a wide selection of Marvin Windows and Doors at family-owned Tom Adams Windows and Carpets in Churchville and Doylestown and Bucks County and Whitehall in the Lehigh Valley. Visit Tom Adams Windows. allonword.com.
We're back, and you're listening to Your Valuable Home with me, Contractor Kevin Kennedy. And now it's time for the horror story. Now, this is one of the horror stories that just got called in to me. And basically, it was they sent some pictures in of what had happened, and it was a deck. Now, I know we're coming into the warmer weather here. The deck's starting to get done. But this was a beauty. For any contractor listening to this, I would hate to have you hear this and go, they did what? Yes, they did this. So I didn't really get the pictures into detail, but the way it really worked out was that a deck was installed. It was a second floor deck. So they had a little porch underneath, and what the guy wanted to do was put some underlayment underneath the deck, like a dry snap, which sheds the water away from under the deck so you can sit under there while it rains, while if you're not on top of the deck. So they put a basic system that was in. They put a cheaper synthetic, but it was an expensive synthetic. And the guy had explained that, you know, he went with the guy. He was a lot cheaper. It was the first quote we had. And it was really reasonable on what I expected to pay. Understandable. He signed with a guy and didn't have any referrals, didn't ask any questions of what are you really doing. He knew it was just getting, it was a brown decking material, it was a white vinyl rail, and some underlayment. So he said, hey, listen, when it comes to the underlayment, when I was talking to the gentleman, the homeowner, he said, we really did it inexpensively. And I said, well, tell me what you did. As he started chuckling, he said, I got to laugh about it because basically I know I got ripped off at this point. Is that before I get to the deck, the underlayment, he said, it's much cheaper if we put a wood product under there. And I'm thinking, well, wood, just regular wood's going to definitely swell. But he used what's called a T111. What that is a shed material, something that you put over sheds that you paint and it looks nice. And, you know, definitely. But it's not a pool. It's not something where you can put it up and it's going to hold water and shed it away. But what he did, though, I mean, this you got to hand it to the contractor. This is something he did was he actually siliconed the seams. So to thinking like, hey, this is going to be the greatest thing out there. It's got to be waterproof because the seams are caulked. Now, I'm sure over time, within like a day or two, it started to leak when those heavy rains come in. T111 is not a waterproofing product. It's plywood. It's a cosmetic plywood. That's all you're looking at. But yeah, this is something that is done out there. I can't understand is how this contractor actually had the couillons, I guess you want to say, to try to sell him that. This contractor had no idea what he's doing. This is not even a handyman that could do something like this. But that wasn't the funny part. So, I mean, this is one of the things he started with, but it was what he had done. Now, this is a second floor deck. So when you're putting a rail system in, that's the one component that it's protecting you from not falling off the deck and seriously getting hurt or killed. So you really need to make sure if you're going to hire a quality contractor, make sure they're doing the job right. So I was just telling the top engineer here, Dwayne, about the story because he's a pretty much do it all. He does everything here. And so I said, Dwayne, you ain't going to believe this story. What had happened was the guy came home. Deck was done. Decking materials all installed. The vinyl rail that was put up was a white vinyl rail was put up. And how do I explain this? I'm going to explain how it's done first, and then you kind of put in your mind what had happened. The decking system, when it's before it's installed, has to have what they're called 4x4 posts. Now, these 4x4 posts are bolted through the beams. They're racked in with either 2x6s or 2x8 pressure treated to lock it into place in between the joists, carriage bolt through, then stick up. And then what you do is you take this very thin vinyl sleeve. It's a vinyl sleeve covering. That's all it is, to slide it over top of the 4x4 post. Then when you put it over, you can put your cap and ring on, then you start installing the rail system. Now, the rail system can't exceed 6 feet. And what you do is, whether it's 5 feet, 6 feet, you center them all out. Well, so when you put it up, in between the rail, the spindle systems, the balusters, or everything's put in, and you screw back into the 4x4 post, which is covered by a very thin vinyl sleeve. So the homeowner came home, it was done pretty quickly. Didn't really get into anything, he said, the first day because he just wanted to go out there. It was late. He got home from work. Second day, he got out there and he started moving the rail system around. And it was loose, very loose, enough where he actually started to snap out, which is crack out the rail system because, yeah, I know the contractors are over there thinking, like, there's no way this guy did this. Yes, he did. The vinyl sleeves were just installed without a 4x4 post. But the vinyl sleeves, I mean, you really push on hard, it's going to crack. So anybody leaning on the deck the first time would have snapped and fell over and seriously got hurt. But that's how bad contractors are. I cannot believe that somebody could actually do something like this. But yeah, that's what had happened. So these are the horror stories that are out there because, one, they're not listening to my show. And number two is that you got to do your referral checks. You got to make sure you know what you're getting because I laugh at some of these jobs because how can somebody do something like this? But again, I look at it, the homeowner. He sold a cheap price. It's got to be the best thing. Listen, homeowners, I'm going to tell you this right now. When you get a cheap price, you're not getting the same as an award-winning contractor going to do in a job or somebody reputable in the area. It's not the same job. So when you get ripped off, I'm not feeling bad anymore because you didn't do your homework. Do your homework by listening. Call on the show, 215-364-3286, or email us at vsphome@verizon.net. It's going to make life easy, and you're not going to come on my show for the horror story. We'll be right back after this break. You're listening to Your Valuable Home, sponsored by Tom Adams Windows and Carpets, with retail locations in Churchville, Southampton, and Doylestown, in Bucks County, and Whitehall in the Lehigh Valley. Check out Tom Adams Windows, all one word, .com.
Tom Adams Windows and Carpets is celebrating 60 years in business with our biggest sale ever. Save 10% to 20% on replacement windows, doors, carpet, hardwood flooring, and more. Our 60th anniversary is your opportunity to save big. At Tom Adams Windows and Carpets, our success comes from 60 years of satisfying customers with exceptional sales, service, and installation. Looking for energy-saving windows and doors? Want to beautify your home with new carpet or hardwood? Tom Adams Windows and Carpets has it all. Plus, real lifetime warranties, free in-home estimates, and our famous no one beats our price guarantee. Hurry in for the Tom Adams Windows and Carpets 60 years in business sale. Our biggest sale means your biggest savings ever on replacement windows, doors, carpet, and more. Hurry, the sale begins February 4th. We've been trusted for 60 years. You know us, now let us get to know you. Visit one of our four showrooms in Churchville, Southampton, Doylestown, or Whitehall, or Google Tom Adams Windows and Carpets. Sale ends February 28th. Oh yeah, ladies of Doylestown and neighboring areas, mark your calendar for Ladies Night at Tom Adams Windows and Carpets in Doylestown. That's this coming April 16, beginning at 7 p.m. There'll be lots of free food and beverages and a special appearance by contractor Kevin Kennedy, host of our popular radio show, Your Valuable Home. Pick Kevin's brain about those spring and summer projects you've got planned. Learn how to choose the right contractor, how to compare estimates the smart way, and how not to get ripped off by unscrupulous contractors. Ladies' Night at Tom Adams Windows and Carpets in Doylestown. It's fun, it's entertaining, it's educational, and it's all free. Ladies, there's no better place to be this coming April 16th than Tom Adams Windows and Carpets on Main Street in Doylestown. Reserve seats for you and your friends today. Just call Tom Adams Windows and Carpets at 215-357-7000. That's 215-357-7000. And be sure to mention Ladies' Night.
We're back, and you're listening to Your Valuable Home with me, Contractor Kevin Kennedy. And now it's time for the college, and now we have a special guest here. And one of the things that we needed to talk about, and we were looking forward to it, and we have a unbelievable person coming on, and it's Caroline Blazovsky, who's a nationally known health expert, which has many clients from Maine to California and featured many times in the media. So, Caroline, I want to thank you for coming on Your Valuable Home and spending some time with us here today.
Hey, thank you so much for having me.
So I know we talked a little bit before, did a little pre-interview, just talking, and oh my God, I think we hit it off. This is great. Finally, somebody can talk about the correct way of doing things, because that's one of the things the show was teaching our homeowners and our listeners, is that there are a lot of ways of doing things, but there's only one right way of doing it. And what she's going to talk about is the right way with dealing with the home and the components of a home and a lot of the situations that people just don't know about. So when you really get into it, you know, it's unhealthy homes, and that's what she's going to talk about. So, Carolyn, tell us a little bit about why these homes are so unhealthy.
Well, as a national healthy expert, home expert, I've been doing this for over 15 years. And what I've come to realize is that homeowners, when you accept the responsibility of being a homeowner, you're not always aware of all the different issues that you're going to have to deal with. And when you are a homeowner or even a renter, you have to understand that there are a lot of things that can go wrong, and I think you would know this better than anybody. And homes contain, you know, a lot of different things, from contaminants to toxins to just everyday items that, if you're not properly maintaining them, you can have health issues. So my objective is to kind of look at houses and say, okay, well, where can we make them healthier, and how can we help people to feel good in their environments? And as we've discussed previously, your health is really sort of determined by three things, as far as the way I look at it. You've got, you know, a DNA component and how we're genetically determined and what we'll experience or won't experience with our health as to how our bodies are made up or composed of. And then we've got, so the DNA issue, then you have what you put into your body and what kind of diet you eat and what you consume on a daily basis. And then the third component is your environment, where you live, what you work around. And the environmental component is something that we've just forgotten a lot about. As far as health concerns, we're always focused on, oh, did you eat McDonald's today? Did you eat chicken? Did you have brown rice and quinoa and all these dietary things and vegan? And we're going to be healthier because we do those things. But if you're living in a toxic environment and your house is not healthy, you may come down with health complaints, you know, even if you are eating well. So it's our job, yours and mine, to kind of make these houses as healthy as they can and build them properly.
Yeah, well, as being a contractor, one of the things I've been noticing a lot is mold. You know, is mold one of the main components that you're running into that is the culprit of these problems?
Yeah, mold is definitely a big, it's a big factor. I mean, we hear a lot about it in the Northeast, obviously, because of our weather conditions. And, you know, when you get these climates, especially in our area, you know, New York, New Jersey, Pennsylvania, Connecticut, we get a lot of the temperatures differentials. So, for example, like if you're in a basement and you have a temperature, say upstairs you're 80 degrees or 78 degrees, and then you go into that basement, you get a lower temperature. And the reason we get a lot of relative humidity problems in basements is because when your temperature drops, your relative humidity or your moisture problems go up. So the cooler air can basically hold less water, and therefore you get, you know, higher relative humidity, which you would know about in building as well.
Yeah, well, just saying about that 78 degrees, I'm just thinking, with the cold weather out, I'm going, wow, I wish my house was 78 degrees, but I probably have about a $2,000 electric bill.
But, you know, it's important to understand that where your environment is and what part of the country you're in, you're going to battle different issues, you know, with your home than you would if you lived in the Northeast versus if you live in West Palm Beach, right? So the weather conditions and how you build your property and what you come into contact with is going to be different.
Well, you know, some of the questions came up, and Ron had wrote in here, like saying, like, do any of these health hazards, do they trigger off risk of maybe getting cancer if you're living in an unhealthy house?
Well, definitely. There's a lot of documentation, like through HUD and the EPA, and obviously things like asbestos and lead and volatile organics. And you'll know through building with lead renovation, especially the EPA has been very strong. So there's a lot of these things that are documented. Arsenic is another one that they really say, look, if you don't take care of these issues in your home, you definitely will run into health problems. And then there's a lot of other issues that are sort of left with a lot of question marks. We know that there's correlations, and they haven't been proven yet just because time hasn't allowed us to do that. You know, as we progress as a society, we get more and more information. But, you know, with mold and things like that, we definitely know that there's a correlation between upper respiratory problems, asthma, inflammation. You know, pets do the same thing. Dander can cause the same thing. So it's really important when you aren't feeling well or you're having symptoms that sort of are out of the norm with what you would experience, that you do look into your environment and you do look into causes or potential causes that could be, you know, in your home.
Absolutely. Well, how would I test for any of these situations?
What's really great is, I mean, obviously, let's talk about mold for a little bit. There are 1.5 million species of mold or more in the world, which is kind of amazing to me because people say, well, I went to my doctor and I got tested for mold. And obviously, when you hear that number, it's almost impossible to test for all of those types of species. They're all over the world. But what's interesting is that typically 80 of those species are known to trigger allergic reactions. But when we grow certain types of molds indoors, we're exposed to a lot more of it. So, for example, if you started to have a problem in your basement and you had a high elevation, you're going to have much more exposure than you would if you were outside in an open environment. So as we've started to make building envelopes tighter, and we've talked about this, we started to see a lot more complaints about mold and allergens, volatile organic compounds, which are VOCs, and people complaining, of course, of different types of respiratory problems and having asthma, just because we made these building envelopes tighter. And we didn't increase the ventilation the way that we should have. And in my opinion, the ventilation is still not, you know, anywhere near where it needs to be as far as having a healthy home.
I'm worried with you on that one. It's the ventilation, proper ventilation, air movement to keep everything moving, so you don't allow mold to really grow. You're inhibiting the mold by this air circulation throughout the house, and that's what you're right. Some areas they're just not doing it correctly. The new homes.
And the other thing too, which I find interesting, which I think you could probably shed more light on, is that if you know when you're constructing a basement, like in New Jersey, it's really, really not the greatest environment. When we have such a high water table here in Pennsylvania to New York, you know, people like to live in their basements, and it's something that I really try to deter them from doing because of the moisture and the differentials in temperature that'll meet in that basement. And when they want to finish their basement, I always say, look, you're probably going to be refinishing this within 20 years again, because it's the moisture. As much as you dehumidify and try to fight the elements, you're constantly going to be having this issue. But if you can build a basement that, you know, has more breathable space behind your drywall or between your studding, so you're getting airflow in there, and then when your moisture does come in, it has ventilation so that it can dry out, you're going to be a lot better off. So the way people, you know, do finish basement, it's really important to work with someone who is conscious about, you know, moisture issues and tries to build a system that's going to work a lot better, at least to extend the life of your basement.
Yeah, one of the townships around here that we deal with, it's the only township I've ever dealt with in the past 10 years. They require a barometric dampering system. It's a fresh air system. When the pressure drops low, it's going to pump in fresh air. And then as soon as you turn the light switch on, they force you. As soon as that light switch is on, a over 100 CFM fan has to be on at all times, pulling the stale air out. So it's basically recirculating air, and you're getting new air every anytime you're down there. It's basically what it's really looking for. But it's allowing that fresh air to come in and then cycle the better air, so you're not breathing in that stale air.
Right, and the thing, too, is that you're underground and you've got all your combustibles, right? You've got your furnace down there. You have your water heater down there. You've got all these different things that are not promoting good air quality. You may have radon. You may have lead piping. Maybe you have asbestos. You know, basements are not the ideal situation for living. So when people want to make this into a living space, it's really important that you take these things into consideration and you say, hey, okay, well, let's build it in accordance so we don't have as many moisture problems, or this system sounds fabulous to help improve the circulation, because it really isn't, you know, the ideal situation to be living in.
Well, you know what it is? A lot of the times when it comes down to building, it's air circulation. Now, you just have to have that. I mean, how many times have you told somebody, listen, well, you're in the bathroom. Do you have the fan running? Do you have to get that moisture? We got to be able to dry it out. You know, a lot of people say, well, listen, I'm getting a new bathroom. It's got a window. We don't need a fan. No, you do. How many times do you open the window when it's 20 degrees out and the air is blowing? Well, we don't. So the moisture, the high content of moisture is still in there. You know, when we're doing a bathroom, that's one of the things when I tell people, listen, I'm going to put two switches in. One's going to be the lights, and the other one's going to be the bathroom light over the shower with the fan. So I want it turning on when the shower light's on, because I got to force to get you that moisture out of there. It's one of the most important things when we really get a bathroom done, is to have that fan running. And I want it running 15 minutes after they're done the shower, because that's one of the things we have issues with, that people are calling us up saying, hey, look, you know, we didn't run the fan. We haven't cleaned the bathroom either. That's another thing. They don't clean the house. And 3 weeks later of that consistent high moisture, they start getting mold that's building up in the ground. I said, well, that's going to happen with everything. If you're not going to be running the fan like I told you to do, it's a great product we put up, but even still, you have to look at getting the moisture out of there. If that moisture is going to sit and it's going to be encased in that area, you're definitely going to have some issues. And that's one thing I always try to stress with a lot of my clients, to keep the fan running, keep that air circulating.
How do you like, I like the new ventilation fans that they're using for bathrooms that also incorporate the energy recovery ventilator. So, you know, instead of just having a ventilation in going out, I know with these units, the only problem with them is you really need an outside access, you know, an outside wall. So if your bathroom's not, you don't have that access to an external wall, but I think they're great. What do you think? Have you seen?
You know what it is? A lot of the times when it comes down to what's the price, I think it's a great idea. Anything that's going to be an upgrade is always a great idea. But with a lot of homeowners today over the past 10 years, you know what I notice? What's your price? That's all they say is, what's your price? Well, that's too much money for me. It's like hiring a bad contractor. Listen, I'm going to hire a bad contractor because why? He's cheap. All the horror stories that we're getting today, you ask him, what's the first thing? Well, we got a bad job, and I say, well, what was his price? Well, he was the cheapest. And they just can't get through to their mind that they're going to spend some money. They just want something that's going to be done, get the cheapest price, and it better have a finished result that I'm going to be happy with. Well, if we don't want put the ventilation on, you're not going to be happy with it because it's going to mold. It's going to happen. But you need to spend the correct money to get things done correctly.
Absolutely.
You know, one of the things I do tell them to do is that, you know, listen, if you're in a bathroom, your door's going to be shut. Keep the door open a little bit, because then you can use the ventilation through your house. If you're running the heating system, it's going to move air. It's definitely going to move air, but you still need to get that fan. It's got to be on. And here's one thing I had a horror story on a little while ago, was they put a new bathroom in, put the new fan in, and just left it in the attic. No ventilation, no ridge vent. And so it was just, you should have seen the mold that was built up in between the joist space right where the attic was blowing out the vent.
Horrible.
So, but again, it's price. And that's one of the things that I've been noticing. So for me to try to get through with the show, to say to people, listen, stop looking at the price. Read first. What are you getting? What's the method of application of how are we doing all this? And then look at who's doing the job. Because I'm sure you've seen in your industry, companies come out, they hire people, but subcontractors do the job. Well, they're not going to do the job the way you want it done. They're going to get it done. They're going to get it done quick. It's not going to be the correct way or the final result way to the end finish to be correct. And now there's problems. And the only way to fix it is to rip it out and redo it.
And I think, too, one of the bigger problems we have in our industry is that we end up with a lot of clients who did a remodel, and then they end up sick because of the products that were used. And you know, it's really important, if I can educate consumers about what they need to do, is you really need to know your product. It's really easy to just hire a contractor and say, you know what, just come in and do this, and then you have no point. You know, you're just like, finish my bathroom. You need to know what products are being used, and not all products are the same. So, you know, we'll get people who might be allergic to PVC product, and then once it's in, they've had an allergic reaction, and they don't understand why. And then they're like, well, I just had a remodel done. They use a lot of high VOC product. Maybe it's, you know, it's because it's cheaper. A low VOC paint is much more expensive. And if you have susceptibilities to things like asthma, allergies, you know, sinus problems, a lot of these commercial products are not always so eco-friendly and sort of benign to your immune system and your body. So if you have concerns or you're really trying to be greener, it's really important to understand the products you're using. They're not all the same. They definitely come with different health risks. Certain people are sensitive to certain things that other people aren't. You know, and if you really have an interest in green product, you just have to do the research. And it may be something you don't want to get involved with, but in the end, it's your home, it's your biggest investment. And I think, you know, knowing what's going into your home and the products that are being used is really important.
Absolutely.
And if your contractor doesn't want to work with you, because I've seen this many times where people are questioning, you know, what type of product they're putting in, then switch contractors, because you really need to find someone who's going to understand your need and want to make it as healthy for you as possible, if that's your concern. And I think number one concern, it should be.
Oh, it should be. I couldn't have said it any better myself. I've been saying that for years on this show, that that's exactly the way it should be. If you don't feel comfortable, because you'll know right away when you feel comfortable with the contractor. And when you feel comfortable and they're getting the point across and you both are meeting on the same page on what you, the consumer, needs, it's going to be a lot easier. But, you know, here's the one thing that, again, I hear from people is that that's more money. I got to spend more money for this. Well, yeah, for the low VOC paint, it's almost double the money. We use one product that's got pretty much no VOC, but again, it's more money. So you tell them, hey, look, your paint price is a little high. Well, it's not a little high. It's the paint we're using. And that's one of the things we try to explain with the homeowners, is that, yeah, Kevin, you're a little bit high on your price, but no, we're not high on the price. We're giving you a better product. Mm-hmm. And we try to explain that these better products are more environmentally safe for you, the consumer. But it's that whole swallowing that whole price system is what people don't want to see. They want that cheap price. And that's one thing it's going to be tough for you and I to get across, because through people's minds that I've been noticing, it's that price, price, price. They don't want to spend the extra money to have this perfect quality or have these non-health risks by the better products.
But again, like, too, what they have to understand, and I say this to all consumers, is that if you don't do it right the first time, you will be doing it again. So when you start to add up the cost of what it plays, if you do your bathroom, I had a client from Miami Beach who just called me today. Guess what? Her bathroom's 5 years old and has mold growth. It shouldn't be happening. You should easily be able to get 20 years out of a bathroom without ever seeing a problem. So the fact that this was done, it was done cheap, it wasn't done properly, it was done on a remodel, and you take one look at it and you can tell this was done not properly. So, you know, the homeowner, in the long run, the expense might be bigger up front, but you have to realize you're going to get a lot more use out of it. You're going to have a better quality. You're not going to have it break down. You're not going to have as many issues with it if you do it right.
Well, you know, one of the things that we just had about 3 weeks ago, we were selling a bathroom, and she said, hey, look, give me a price. And I said, well, listen, you got to make sure you know you're getting the right estimate. So I said, one of the things we do is we're taking the drywall down. She's like, well, why would you do that? It's not too bad of shape. And I'm looking up and I see all this pink stuff all in the ceiling. And mm-hmm. You're going to explain to us what that is. And I said, well, either we take it down or we don't, because here's what's going to happen. I said, it looks like it was fixed already. Oh, yeah, we got a painter in. He scraped all that pink stuff out. We respackled it and put some cheap paint on, and it came back. You believe that? And I said, well, the reason why that's happened is because you got to get it out. It's got to be removed 100% for us to fix it. So if you want to save some money, you're going to still run into the same problem. So why spend $15,000 on a bathroom and do it wrong? Let's spend $17,000, have that ceiling completely removed. Let's gut the bathroom 100% and put it back the right way. And the other thing that I do find a lot of, and this is where I'm sure you see it, new home building today, they use that green board behind the shower.
Right.
And then they cut the bottom off and allow that moisture to wick back up underneath that. And the green board's not really helping. The thing is molding up like you couldn't believe. And people are like, why is it molding up? Well, number one, they're using really the wrong product. Even though code says we can use it, if you're going to cut the bottom off and the protective element is now gone, there's your issue. Hey, look, we got a piece of scrap drywall. Let's use that in the shower where the water is going to be. High volumes of water are going to be coming onto the ground. We can have it suck back into it and have the mold. And then people clean in and it comes back out and the mold keeps coming and it doesn't stop. And then people are like, well, why is this happening? Well, the only way, again, I can just kind of explain to it. I mean, you're going to be the expert on that. But the only thing I can tell them is rip it all out and redo it. But
absolutely,
the bathroom's only 3 years old. But that's the thing. You got to put a fiber cement board down. You're going to get longer use out of it. Is it more money? Absolutely.
Yep, you're absolutely right. And there's a lot of options, too, with bathrooms. place now. There's the Schluter system, which has come out, which I think is an excellent, excellent mold deterrent. You can use different types of products. You know, you don't have to use the green board. And obviously, I don't believe in tiling to a green board system. It's just not, you know, it's too moisture friendly, let's put it that way. but there's a lot of great alternatives out there that can really help you. And that's where, like, again, working with your contractor comes into play. They know the different products, and then you're able to advise them, and they can say, well, I want this, I want that. But it's this relationship, and it's so important. And I've had my contractor for, I don't even know, 20 years. He's the same guy, and the reason he understands my needs, I'm into green building, so when I need things done, I want to do them with, you know, low chemicals, as healthy as I can. You know, I want to do remodeling in my house and not smell it. You know, it's important to me to keep those chemicals down, and it's totally possible. I do it all the time, and, you know, that's where I help a lot of clients too. They said, well, what products can I use for this? What kind of drywall can I use that doesn't, you know, isn't going to admit different chemicals or have formaldehydes? And there's a lot of alternatives. I mean, it's great nowadays. We have so many much more greener products than we used to have. You know, joint compound, there's a great product out there. I like it. It's called Merco 100. It's a fabulous product. It's basically a hyperallergenic spackle. It does take longer to dry. You know, you're going to have some glitches. It's not as quick to dry, but you don't have all the formaldehydes and all the other resins that are involved with it. You know, you can use, instead of using like a PVC product, you can obviously use tape, you know, a paper tape when you're going to do your spackling to keep things down. So there's just so many, you know, there's wonderful caulks out there now that have, I mean, zero smell. No, you know, they're 100% silicone without all the chemicals and additives in them, and just really, really great options that,
right,
you know, people should be aware of.
Well, you know, getting back to that one thing where you see the pink on the ceiling, what kind of mold is that on the ceiling that you get that and it keeps coming back?
Well, mold can be lots of different colors. So just because you see, like, a lot of people, and I think this is a great, you know, thing to talk about, when people see black mold, for instance, they always panic and say, oh, my gosh, that's a toxic mold. It's not true. Mold can take on all different types of colors, shapes, and sizes. So depending on what kind of environment you have, you may get different types of mold. Typically, you don't know what type of mold you have until you test it. You just won't know if you take an air sample, or you can take a tape lift samples where you actually take a piece of the mold out and send it to the lab. You'll know exactly, you know, what you're dealing with. What's interesting about molds is that they kind of have different abilities. And the reason that we don't want them in homes, and the reason that we view them as being problematic, is they sort of have three special skills that they can do. And one thing is you'll see that black fuzzy thing that sort of hangs out, right? You'll look at it and you'll say, oh, that's the spore. Look at it. It's all fuzzy. It's growing on the wall, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, but it tastes good.
Yeah, it's yummy. And molds are like people. They like water and food and great conditions. So they're just like us. You know, if they've got the right amount of food coming in, and which is like chocolate cake to them, drywall or any kind of building product, and then they've got some water and they've got a great temperature, they're going to grow there and be really happy. So our goal is to really try to reduce those environments as much as we can so that they can't live there and that they don't want to live there. And that's what we do a lot with, like, dehumidification, and we do a lot of high-end, like, we do talk about high-end products. We sell really, really high-end dehumidifiers that are designed to work in colder temperatures so the unit doesn't freeze up when you're trying to dehumidify in 40-degree temperatures, because even going into the season, like before you get to December, we still have a lot of humidity and moisture in the air, and the basements get damp. So it's important. People think, oh, well, I'm going to shut my dehumidifier off in September. But, you know, coming into our season, you still need to run it, I'd say, until like the 1st of December, sometimes into January, depending on, you know, if you're getting a 60-degree day for a consistent period of time.
Well, yeah, that dry air is definitely what's a deterrent more towards the winter, because, you know, I always, people tell me about, you know, is my house going to be, you know, moisture? I said, well, yeah, you need some kind of moisture, because, you know, people have, hey, listen, I got to put some moisture on my skin because I'm really dry in
right,
my
you'll
house.
Be too dry. When your relative humidity gets close to zero and lower, you'll obviously get chapped lips and dried out noses and things like that. So you ideally want to be about 30 to 50% is the best relative humidity. You want to have some moisture, but not too much. And then also when you get above that 50% marker, anything higher, you start to give atmosphere where dust mites can start to grow over 50%. Mold starts to grow. You start to get an influx of insects and, you know, cockroaches and things that like to grow in moist conditions. So it behooves you to keep your relative humidity low for lots of reasons, not just, you know, mold itself. You'll keep a lot, you know, the integrity of the house will be maintained. You'll have less bugs and all sorts of, you know, roaches and spiders and things like that that like damp conditions too, and dust mites. So when people have allergies, you want to err on the side of having less humidity.
Now, when you're telling your clients, hey, listen, you know, these are some of the things that you need to do with the humidity inside the house, is there any special way that you like to help them out by saying this is what you're going to need to do to rectify the problem?
Well, I really think, especially in the Northeast, the type of dehumidifier you're purchasing is really important. Not all dehumidifiers are the same. They don't all remove the same amount of water. Some are designed to be more commercial-oriented, and they're better where they can actually go down to a lower temperature and not freeze up, you know, so you don't have the issue of, you know, the unit not working properly at a lower when it's colder. And then there's some units that work more like a desiccant dehumidifier that are, you know, if you really need to, you're in a real swampy area or maybe your house was built in a bad location, you can go to a really heavy-duty type of dehu. But they're not all the same, and you really need to research them. I mean, like the ones that we sell, I'm really particular about what we carry. We work a lot with contractors, and, you know, obviously we're a wholesaler, so we deal with, you know, what they're putting in. But, you know, I see a lot of homes where they just are running these smaller 40-pint dehus that are not doing what needs to be done, especially if you've got, like, a 2,000-square-foot basement or a 1,500-square-foot basement. It's not doing enough. And then they end up having mold issues, and then they're calling their contractor back and saying, look, you didn't do the job right. And it wasn't the contractor. It was that the moisture conditions weren't being taken care of.
Well, is that something that you're going to be doing for the homeowner, is to try to educate them? Because a lot of times it's going to be one of two reasons. One, they were misinformed, or two, they want to spend the money for the right product to achieve
Absolutely.
The correct result.
I agree with you a lot, and that comes back to the consumer. You get what you pay for. You can't, if somebody's, you know, telling you that you need something, do your research. But in 90% of the time, you know, you need to have, in this area, a bigger dehu. And people are saying, I don't want to spend the money. They're not cheap. You know, you're talking about you could spend $1,500 for a dehumidifier. But if it's going to prolong the life of your basement and you're going to get 25 years out of your basement, you're not going to have to deal with the issues of mold. It's really going to help the integrity and maintain it from getting moldy and damp and nasty smelling must. It's worth it. If you're spending $30,000 to redo your basement, or up to $150,000 that I've seen people do easily to put a media room in or whatever you're doing, you need to take care of it and dehumidify it and ventilate it properly.
Well, what are the costs of the units? If I'm going to be saying, listen, I don't know. I'm a homeowner. I'm going to do a basement. It's going to be 2,200 square feet. I'm going to put a lot of money into it.
Usually, like a good dehumidifier, I'd say about $1,500. And that'll get you about 110 pints of water removed a day, and they're usually that'll do about 2,000 square feet. So if you went up to a bigger basement, you know, if you had a 3,500 square foot basement, then you're talking about closer to $2,000, but somewhere in that range,
now,
1,500 to $2,000.
If it's something that big, there's multiple rooms in the area. You said the home theaters. Again, they're sealed component units. Is it something where they can do two smaller of the upgraded units and put them on separate ends of the house? Would that be something doable to get the moisture out?
Yeah, they could. If you have open space and your doors are, you know, you're allowing ventilation in there. It's like when you close off the doors and you have a lot of little rooms is where you kind of get into a more difficult situation. But if the basement's relatively open, usually one of the dehumidifiers will do adequate because it'll pull from the other areas. The systems that I don't like as much are when you use a dehumidification through a ducting system, like meaning through
right.
your forced hot air, your HVAC system. I find they don't work as well because typically the problem is closer to the foundation. So you want your dehumidifier as close to the ground as you can because that air, right when you meet your slab, like on the bottom of your basement, is where you're going to see most of your relative humidity. And if you're venting it through the house, through a unit like a whole house system, the airflow doesn't get to that level. It doesn't seem to be able, because, you know, you've got your stack effect pulling everything out.
Mm-hmm.
So you don't get to that bottom level as much as you should. So I actually prefer standalone units versus doing like a one that's included in your HVAC system.
You know, we talk a lot of the residential, you know, and one of the things I would look at is, you know, how about the workspace or the workplace that you're going to be working at? Now, are there some of the things that people should be aware of if they're allergic to this, that they're in a bad working environment?
Yeah, I mean, it's the same, you know. I mean, with your home, you have a lot more control over what you can, you know, what you can manipulate because it's your place, you know, when you go to work. And what I talked about with Ron was that you want to have your home be your best environment it can be. So when you go home, your body gets a chance to decompress, not only mentally, right, but as far as your physical body. You know, it's a place that you're not overloaded with toxins. You know, it's a cleaner environment. It's healthy. You've had it tested. You're not storing paint cans. You don't have all this stuff that's exposing you to high volatile organics and VOCs from chemicals, and your body kind of decompresses, and then you go out in the world and you go to work and you do what you have to do. But yes, I mean, commercial buildings all have these same issues too. I mean, we work with a lot of commercial contractors. It's not my specialty. I like working with homeowners, but I mean, I obviously can do it and have done it. So, you know, it's the same type of issues. Molds are, you know, prevalent in workspaces, so as dander, pet dander comes in on people, so people at work are exposing you to all kinds of allergens and, you know, chemicals from whatever you're using in the workplace, so it's the same issues.
So, you know, I was looking at your website, and it just doesn't seem like it's a mold. You have a lot of issues where you deal with VOC, water testing. There's a lot more involved into what you do, and I'd like to talk to you further about that on additional shows coming up.
Sounds great. It sounds wonderful.
Now, we're going to do a segment here right after this. It's called Kevin's Q&As. And what we do is we talk about some questions that either people are going to write in. And just because people have concerns with it, we're going to answer them for you. And we'd like you to stay on board and so you can answer them for us.
Sure. Sounds fabulous. Thank
all
you.
Right, so hang on and we'll be right back. We'll be right back after this break. You're listening to Your Valuable Home, sponsored by Tom Adams Windows and Carpets, with retail locations in Churchville, Southampton and Doylestown, in Bucks County, and Whitehall in the Lehigh Valley. Check out Tom Adams Windows, all one word, .com.
Tom Adams Windows and Carpets is celebrating 60 years in business with our biggest sale ever. Save 10% to 20% on replacement windows, doors, carpet, hardwood, flooring, and more. Our 60th anniversary is your opportunity to save big. At Tom Adams Windows and Carpets, our success comes from 60 years of satisfying customers with exceptional sales, service, and installation. Looking for energy-saving windows and doors? Want to beautify your home with new carpet or hardwood? Tom Adams Windows and Carpets has it all. Plus, real lifetime warranties, free in-home estimates, and our famous No One Beats Our Price guarantee. Hurry in for the Tom Adams Windows and Carpets 60 Years in Business Sale. Our biggest sale means your biggest savings ever on replacement windows, doors, carpet, and more. Hurry. The sale begins February 4th. We've been trusted for 60 years. You know us. Now let us get to know you. Visit one of our four showrooms in Churchville, Southampton, Doylestown, or Whitehall, or Google Tom Adams Windows and Carpets. Sale ends February 28th.
Where the things I buy are made is important to me. So when I needed new windows, I chose Marvin Windows and Doors, a family-owned American company. My local Marvin dealer helped me find the perfect fit for my style. My new windows are gorgeous, the perfect combination of craftsmanship and energy efficiency. If all that matters to you, choose Marvin.
And you can find a wide selection of Marvin Windows and Doors at family-owned Tom Adams Windows and Carpets in Churchville and Doylestown and Bucks County and Whitehall in the Lehigh Valley. Visit Tom Adams Windows allonword.com.
We're back, and you're listening to Your Valuable Home with me, Contractor Kevin Kennedy. And now it's time for Kevin's Q&As. We have Caroline still on the phone, and we're going to start getting into more on the questions that some homeowners have written in, and Ron's going to ask them. So, Ron, what do we have in the bag today for Caroline?
Well, I've got some questions, actually, and I've got an observation first, Caroline. I've done a lot in the area of nutrition. This country is full of bad nutrition ideas and lack of education about nutrition. And I'm going to say that I would think the same problem exists here. It's an education problem, isn't it?
Absolutely.
Okay.
And I think the more you become educated, it's not that people want to make poor decisions. They just don't have the information
they don't
to
have
make the
information.
The better decision.
They don't have the information. I'd like you to get into an area that you and I got into the other day that was absolutely fascinating to me, and that's the cumulative effect of different chemicals, whatever, where you mentioned laundry detergent to me and you mentioned what happens in the garage and all that. So can you get into that a little bit?
Sure. Well, what homeowners don't realize is that everything you bring into your home has a cause and effect. We talked a little bit about a study that came out of Canada, which basically talks about the latest cancer threat to Canadian homeowners and this correlation between having an attached garage. When you have a garage that's attached to your home, people tend to store all kinds of things in it, from paints to automobiles to snowblowers. And all of these things outgas chemicals into the environment, which in turn outgas into the home. Now, if you were properly designing a garage, you'd basically install a ventilation system so that it would help exhaust it. And here comes back to the issue of ventilation. So most people would, you know, put in a fan, and then you could be basically, you know, preventing putting, you know, some positive pressure and taking out the polluted air so it's not going back into the home environment through stack effect. But this doesn't happen. So what they started doing was looking at, you know, the concentration of what kind of chemicals were building up in these garages and that the poor ventilation that was existing. and they found that high levels of benzene, which is found in car exhaust, so when people basically turn on their car, the exhaust was going up into the house, and it was seeping into the homes from, you know, all types of things, and many of the residents had a heightened danger of contracting leukemia. And what you need to take into effect, and, you know, then certain people will come out and say, well, it's not as big of a risk as we think, and there's studies on the other side. But my point as to what we talked about was that in a home, it's not your only source of benzene. So if you have an attached garage, that's not your only source. You're exposed to other chemicals like scented laundry detergents, which emit hazardous chemicals into the environment, and dryer vents. And people don't think about that. So you're accidentally inundating yourself with this harmful chemical and potentially causing health effects or potentially causing problems for your body that may long-term not be healthy.
Now, you're talking about dryer vents. Is that something where you're saying from the exhaust from the dryer vent, if you have an electric dryer vent that's venting out, that can cause issues?
Yeah, so basically what they did was they captured gases and they found more than 25 volatile organic compounds, 7 hazardous air pollutants coming out of the vent. So as people did laundry, they were breathing in all these chemicals, not only from the dryer running inside the home, but they also found it exhausting into the environment. And they found researchers, actually it was in Seattle, and they basically found out that it was equivalent to 3% of emissions from, equivalent to 3% of the emissions coming from automobiles in the formaldehyde family. So if you could just imagine that if we just reduce the amount of scented laundry detergents and went to healthier vegetable-based detergents, not only would we be improving the health of the consumer, the actual health of what you're exposed to in the product, but you'd also be improving the environment at the same time.
So Caroline, it just to sum up, what would be the top 5 health hazards that we should watch out for in their homes?
As far as the top 5 concerns, I think mold is number 1. People should be testing their homes every 3 to 5 years. That's going to give you a good indication of what your moisture levels are, what you're exposed to on a continual basis. You always want to keep an eye on that, especially if you're purchasing a home. I would never purchase a home without testing for mold. 2, danders, animal proteins. When danders start to get high in the house, you basically have, you know, a lot of pets will cause that, but also people, we shed skin cells, so that also equates to dander. 3, watch what you're bringing into the house. Be conscious of the products that you choose. And 4, I would say, you know, be selective when you're doing remodeling. Try to do it as green as possible. Hire a contractor you can work with. Know your product. And then 5, always check your home for radon every 3 to 5 years as well.
And on the number 5 point of picking the correct contractor is to check with us, and we'll be able to make sure you're getting the right contractor when he's doing the correct job also. So, Caroline, I want to thank you for your time you spent here, but I want to let also people know for more information, could you direct them to your website so they get a little bit more information about you?
Sure. We'd like people to go to healthyhomeexpert.com if you have any questions about allergens or how toxic your home is or contaminants, mold, any indoor air quality problems that you might have. We're there to help you solve those issues and make sure that you are living in a house that's as healthy as possible. So healthyhomeexpert.com. And if you're interested in testing your home, please visit us at examinair.net. for information on how to test.
And also, we're going to have you on in a couple of weeks, too, to get a little bit more further about the water testing and the VOC testing. It'll be great to talk to you about.
Thank you so much for having me. It was a pleasure being on, and I'm so happy that you guys are doing this and helping people.
Thanks for joining us on Your Valuable Home. We're right here, 920 The Voice, every Saturday at 9 a.m. Our show streams live at the same time on 920thevoice.com. Just click Listen Live. I'm contractor Kevin Kennedy, and Your Valuable Home is brought to you by Tom Adams Windows and Carpets, with retail locations in Churchville, Southampton, and Doylestown in Bucks County, and Whitehall in the Lehigh Valley. Check out Tom Adams Windows, all one word, .com.